Why?
Chicago sports spoken here.
World of sports is going on.
This is The Beat.
.720 WGN 509. I'm Mark Harmon. He is Harry Tynowitz. An in-studio guest. This is a rarity. Phil Rosenthal, you are the man for your list of Chicago broadcasters and all the work you do with the Tribune, and for coming in on a Saturday. We appreciate it.
Oh, hey, I wouldn't miss this opportunity. Harry and I go back.
We do. We go way back to New Year's parties at Mr. Skin's house before Skin got really famous.
I'm willing to sit back and listen to the whole genesis of a friendship if you want to do it. What do we got?
It's a beautiful thing. And you can follow Phil on Twitter at Phil_Rosenthal. He, of course, is the media writer for the Chicago Tribune. He's worn many yarmulkes while at the Tribune. And Carmen and I spent the better part of yesterday arguing about your story.
Well, that was the point.
So two things about this story. Phil's piece he wrote yesterday.
You should tell them what it is.
In the last 40 years, the best broadcasters in Chicago with the criteria that you were doing a pro team in Chicago and spent at least 5 years in that booth doing the pro team. Okay, so that's the criteria. And two things. A, this must have been quite an undertaking. And B, don't you love lists?
Well, I like lists. Lists, though, are essentially arguments. You're picking a fight with people. And I understand there are people who say, how could you leave this person off? Why did you rank this person so high, so low? What, are you an idiot? And the only one I can answer for sure is yes, I am an idiot.
Well, who are you hearing from as far as like the biggest debates? Like, I'm guessing that like there's a lot of White Sox fans are saying, how in the world can you have Hawk Harrelson behind Len Casper and Pat Hughes?
There is that. There's also where's John Rooney? You know, is another, and that's a very good question. I mean, I think Rooney comes. This is one of the strange things. We almost did a third list, and I just realized that it would be too much. It'd be too little room, and I'll probably revisit it sometime. But Rooney, to me, for example, is a guy who I think he and Farmer were very good as a team, better than the individual components. And that's one of the strange things when you start to break this stuff down in your head, which is that two individuals can be of a certain level and yet combined are much better. The two highest guys on here, the top play-by-play guy, Harry Carey, the top color guy, analyst, Steve Stone. But the best team was not Stone-Carey. The best team, in my mind anyway, would be Pearsall-Carey. And Pearsall's at 3 in the play-by-play list. At the same time, I think the Rooney-Farmer team was fantastic. As individuals, it gets a little harder to do it. And a lot of this is just personal, what you think about them. I mean, I find, and I like the White Sox, you know, maybe because I listen to a lot of White Sox coverage. Hawk gets to me a little bit, and a little bit goes a long way. I said to someone in a note the other day, you know, I want to listen to the ball game. I don't want Paiachi. You know, I don't want the crying clown. You know, when everything goes, I sort of want a certain level headedness to it. So it's tricky that way, I guess is where.
Come on, Wagner. All right. So this is Phil Rosenthal's. This graced the cover of yesterday's Tribune Sports section. Real quick, the play-by-play announcers in Phil's world. First to 15th, Harry Carey, Jack Brickhouse, Pat Foley, Jim Durham, Wayne Larrabee, Pat Hughes, Len Casper, Hawk Harrelson, Don Drysdale, Jeff Joniak, Neil Funk, Swirsky, Vince Lloyd, Tom Brenneman, and Joe McConnell. His color commentators, 1 through 10, Steve Stone, Eddie O, Jimmy Pearsall, Ron Sano, Johnny Kerr, Wimpy Pechorek, Tom Thayer, Lou Boudreau, Bob Brenly, and Bill Winnington.
Yes. Now, okay.
Something else I would say here.
Yeah.
The higher, you know, I was telling, I was saying this to Harry earlier. Some of these, you know, you're doing it and you go, oh, that's obvious there. And then there's a big drop off. And then there's somewhere it's like a razor thin difference. And you could, you know, if you were going to cheat it, you'd say it's a tie and have like three names. And then there's another big drop off. And sometimes the difference between one number and another is nothing. And you could shuffle them any which way. And sometimes, well, no, it's a big drop off.
Well, it's interesting. I want to go back to what you just said, because you're talking about like you want some level headedness in your broadcast.
I do, and not everyone does.
Well, I see. I don't like people who dissed Ron Sano. I loved Ron Sano. Ron Sano spoke for a gazillion fans. He spoke for me. I loved him in there. But, like, Harry's number one. I wouldn't call him, like...
He wasn't dispassionate. But, you know, so if you look at the whole of his time in Chicago, and this is where it gets tricky, too.
Right.
Most people remember the Cubs years because, one, they were the most recent. Two, they were the ones that sort of made him more of what he was. He was pretty big with the White Sox. But when he started, he was on this little suburban station in the middle of nowhere when he came to the team in 71. I would just say that yeah, I mean, I think it's a mix. And he became much more of a caricature, I think, toward the end and much That's more, true. You know, just kind of feeling his way through it. When he started, it was a very, very sharp announcing with some of the other elements.
Phil, how much does the quality of the team benefit the broadcasters?
Well, I don't know. Brickhouse is too. He covered some of the worst teams years.
He was also there for half a century. But yeah. but I'm saying, you know, when you get to call, you know, the championships of Michael Jordan, or I think Foley and Olczyk are a spectacular team. My daughter will always love the Blackhawks because when she was a little kid, the Hawks won the championship. So she's always going to think Pat and Eddie are the best.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Oh, one of the other big complaints I hear from people, because either they're not. They just don't. It's 40 years. And the person that I hear about all the time, I'm hearing about a lot is, well, where's Lloyd Pettit? Well, Lloyd Pettit's last year with the Blackhawks was 76. If it weren't 76, he'd be really high. Certainly in the top five, and I'd have to think about it a little more to figure it out. He was sensational. And I mean, a phenomenon. And you got to remember, especially that his entire run, that was the only way you got Blackhawk home games, if you recall.
First period.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. And so I think that's one of the things that hurts some, you know, to some degree. Sometimes you ask yourself, because again, it's so subjective. You start to say to yourself, well, would I seek out this audio if I were watching the game on TV, or would I Well, I think, for example, you know, with Pettit, you would. I think Pettit was better than almost everything around, including the national guys. That's not always true of these guys. And I think that's an element, you know, what affection you have for it. With Santo, it was not. I think I say in there, and I cribbed from when he passed away. Here was a guy who was he ended up being a Hall of Famer at the time. We didn't know when he died, he wasn't yet, but Hall of Famer, yet you never really got expert commentary from him.
Never.
You never really got into. He did it for 20 seasons, yet you never really got the sense he was a broadcaster. He was just a guy. I mean, you know, the Brant Brown dropping the fly, you know, oh no. And
oh,
that
no.
was it. And that's exactly, but people loved him for it. And you got to rank that somewhere up there. And I think, you know, so I think it's a mix of things. And what, again, it's personal. What works for you? What grates?
Right. And so, like, for me personally, like, I was just thrilled to see that you had Jim Durham as high as you had him, because that's who I grew up a huge Bulls fan. Listening to Durham and Kerr was the greatest. And
Durham was amazing.
Durham especially. And I love Johnny too, but Jim Durham was incredible.
And Durham would have been here longer. He was here 18. He would have been here longer, but his aging and the Bulls didn't get along, and that was the end of it.
And that was a terrible, terrible, terrible loss for Bulls fans, because people loved him, and that never should have happened, but it did. With Durham too, you see Michael's shot 89 all the time, and so you get to hear it. Like, that's, I mean, it's, he's more iconic than he gets credit for, in my opinion, just because people don't know who.
Well, I'll tell you what, how you know how good he was. When he left, you know, he got fired. It was a surprise. It was after the season, and they let him go. He was picked up for the very next season by I think I think it was Atlanta first.
Oh really?
Yeah. So I mean, they had a handful of games, and he did a little bit of stuff for them. But that's what I'm saying, is that he was great. He was unbelievably good. He ended up he got that Kurt Gowdy Award from the Basketball Hall of Fame.
That is Phil Rosenthal from your Chicago Tribune. Phil is on the beat with Mark Carmen, Harry Tanowitz on WGN Radio. If you'd like to comment on this list, who was deserving, who should be on there, 312-981-7200. My favorite line in the piece, talking about homers, and you know, you can analyze, you know, the quality of the people, or who should be higher, who should be lower, but writing about Hawk Harrelson, you say there's plenty of rooting for the home team in broadcast booths and on this list, for that matter, but Hawk is right up there with Simpson and the guy who wrote the Iliad among all-time homers. That's some fine writing. You really capture the spirit of the whole thing. All right, I maintain...
Nobody explain that to Hawk, please.
I maintain Tom Thayer has a very, very hard job because the Bears are so down
and I
right
think
now.
Thayer is great.
He's
I think
great.
Thayer breaks things down, and he's got a sense of humor, and he's great.
Right.
And
Joni
the only
Thayer
thing that,
is
and
very
the only
strong.
Thing that I think he makes Joni... I may not say it in that one. I may say it later. I think he makes Joniak better, and I think Joniak's pretty good. The thing I would say about him is he would... You know, you could make the argument he should be higher. on the other hand, look at who's above him. I mean, it's a tough,
right.
It's a tough nut to crack, but he's sensational, I think.
So here's my 1B, Phil, and we were talking about this earlier in the show, and I mentioned to you, and I know this is a professional sports list, but here's how I break it down for me. Harry is the Cubs, at least for me, and I know like to Brickhouse fans that's probably insulting, but I was born in 73.
Right, so Harry Carey is who you associate as the Cubs announcer.
Pat Foley for the Hawks for me, Jim Durham for the Bulls, Wayne Larrivee for the Bears. And then I just want this special category that you could have created, the college Northwestern Wildcat, voice of the Cat, Dave Ennett, who just does a phenomenal job. I think there should be a special category for a college guy somewhere. You can tell me.
Yeah, you know the whole thing isn't college. Here's the thing. You know, it is pro sports teams, and unless you want to talk to the NCAA infractions committee about what you think Northwestern sports is all about, I think we have to leave them aside. Although I will tell you, a guy who did not have enough seasons as an announcer and ended his pro stint before the 77 cutoff. Red Rush was and I don't remember when he stopped doing pro or college basketball for like Loyola and stuff, but you talk about college announcers in this town. I don't remember exactly if he would have made the cutoff or not, but I think he did. Red Rush was just great. I mean, Red Rush was had a phrase for everything. He was very he was one of these guys, you know, tickles the twines for two, you know, kind of thing.
I love play-by-play. It's so good.
Well, we have John Weideman on a lot, and they just won the award last
four week. Years in a row for John.
How about it? John Weideman, Troy Marine, of course, Judd Surratt, part of that award. But when you have, and they do it like with Pat Foley and Eddie Olczyk in the very next booth, a Hockey Hall of Famer and a soon to be, you know, an American Hockey Hall of Famer and soon in the NHL Hall of Fame. But the only guy I would say, you know, you asked me, is there anybody missing? In my opinion, he's a general manager now. But
Dale Talon?
Dale,
yeah.
Pat and Dale.
Well, you might mention John is another guy who was pretty close to getting on. I mean, or Troy for that matter. I mean, it was very close. And John, when we're talking about John, he's one of those guys. Again, part of what I think he runs up against is, do I want to listen to him or am I going to go inside and make sure I see the thing on TV and get Foley? And I think that may be an issue. Independently, he's good. I just don't. You know, it was a very close call with Troy as well.
Dale Talon
just dropped off the list. You know, it was one of those things. And again, it was part of it was, do I want to go to 15 on the color guys? It gets a little squishy after about 13 or 14. The 15 is a much bigger drop, and that was the problem. I mean, there were guys like, again, people who were considered for the next four slots. I would say he was one of them. Stacey King was another, very close, I think. I could have gone
beep,
in.
Beep, beep, drive home safely.
Yeah, well, okay.
Derek Dickey and Harvey Catchings weren't right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure they had enough time, but they served. But Dale Talon was certainly, Dale Talon was actually, I believe, 11. And that's, you know, but again, it's fluid until I say, okay, I got to be done with this now. They need it. They're yelling at me.
Well, it was a phenomenal effort. I think a ton of people.
I was trying. Yeah. You know? Yeah. But again, I don't insist I'm right. You want to say somebody else? Fine. I don't.
You know, here's what I would think would make your bosses happy, unless you're the boss now, is this is the kind
I'll
of story.
I'll never know.
This is the kind of story that people will read and then go talk about. Carm and I were texting each other until late in the evening last night about this list, and it got me thinking.
It's frightening my life.
The most exciting sports voice in Chicago in the last 40 years did not broadcast a team. The most exciting sports. Phil Georgieff.
Oh, Phil Georgieff was it was great. Yeah,
I mean
Phil. If you were doing a different kind of list, sure.
Right.
And I guess he was doing pro athletes, but I did say teams. But yeah, I know that Phil Georgieff was great. I mean, I thought Norm Van Leer. I thought you were going with Norm Van Leer. Norm was great, but he did very little color.
Right.
Commentating. He was mostly a studio guy.
He was great.
And Phil lives on with the Dunkin' Donuts race. He's doing.
I don't know if he'll do it after this year. But it was eerie. I went to one of the playoff games and I heard that. I go, oh yeah, and because it hasn't been quite a year, you know, and so that was disconcerting a bit.
That was one of our strong topics on the show. Do you just replay Phil Georgieff for the rest of time?
I don't know. Well, first of all, you have to still do Dunkin' Donuts, otherwise it's going to sound very strange, you know.
Right.
And they're coming around the turn. It's a muffler making the turn. You know, I don't know, but that said, it was
Biggie Bagel. Cup of coffee.
But, you know, I think he went in every year and recorded new stuff. So I don't know.
Interesting.
You know, it's my understanding is he did.
Can you imagine if you're him? Like, oh, I got to do this again. Are you kidding me? Can't we?
I think the check clears and he's pretty excited.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I bet he would make. I bet he would call himself going to the bank to deposit the check. And I'm waiting in line. I'm fifth in line. I'm fourth in line. Yeah. Now I'm depositing my check from Arlington.
You never knew when you're doing horse racing that you're going to call Biggie Bagel, and it was going to.
That was going to be your legacy?
Swell your bank account. I wasn't going to go that far, but maybe it's, for me it is. That's like,
for, you know, there are a lot of people who probably that's what they know.
Will you come back and visit? You can bring your son, Zachary, who I know is your ghostwriter, who does most of the quality writing in the Rosenthal.
Well, family. I got to say, when we're talking about Hawk, he's the what Hawk Harrelson taught my son. I taught my son how to keep a scorebook. Hawk Harrelson taught him to circle Angel Hernandez's name and say, this guy is a terrible umpire. He shouldn't be an umpire in the scorecard. So that's useful.
Phil, appreciate the time. Thanks for coming in on a Saturday. We appreciate it. All right, quick timeout, 720 WGN.